You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Jesus sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen." Amen. Please be seated. The road conversation alluded to in today's gospel fits right in with these waning days of September, with October and November on the horizon. Which one is the greatest? Every Monday, and sometimes multiple times each week, headlines shout updates. What the polls say, one is up, the other is down. The polls disagree. Sunday family dinners become tense. Supporters argue their case, and no quick answer is to be had. But eventually, one will end up on top. And so much rides on the outcome. Which one is the greatest? You tell me. Georgia or Texas? Now, I would have liked to have put Baylor against Texas, but, you know, football. But if we could go beyond football, we could ask this question, right? Is it Baylor or A&M or Texas or Rice or University of Houston or TCU? These are all in our diocese. Like, this is a family matter, my friends. And, of course, there are those other contests to which we are attending, local, statewide, national. I won't say anything about them, but I do encourage those who are eligible to vote to do so as an expression of your civic duty. Which one is the greatest? It seems true that human beings are always arguing this point in one way or another. Measuring wealth or wisdom, power or skill, influence, it's not all bad. Sometimes it just means we're striving for excellence. Like, I don't know how many churches have a confirmation class like we got here today. But then there's the dark and destructive side. Comparing ourselves individually, collectively to one another to claim or gain or press advantage. Sizing each other up becomes a way of assessing worth. Greater, stronger, richer, more influential, educated, powerful, means more worthy and deserving. These are the ways of the world, right? All that is not those things, including people, are thought to either be a means to increase the balance sheet for the strong or an impediment to steamroll over. In his book, Passions of the Soul, former Archbishop Rowan Williams writes about this, the central human dilemma. He says, one of the central human dilemmas is that though human beings are made in the image of God and therefore are drawn and called to know and love the unchanging God, we live in a world that is constantly changing, and we develop means of coping with the change, with the threats, with the uncertainty of life that interfere with that desire to know and love God. And so there's this tension, right, between coping in the world and being the sort of person that is walking more closely, reflecting more deeply the character of Jesus living among constant change and threat leads humankind, again, to develop coping skills that draw them away from God. And so the Archbishop writes, quote, we learn both mentally and physically to react to the situations that we're in. We learn the skills of survival in the world, and we don't develop consistent strategies for finding our way through it by way of the images and concepts we construct as we move on. He goes on to say, our default setting as human beings has become a compound of anxiety, defensiveness, and acquisitiveness, right? We are either like this, right, defensiveness, like this, anxiety, or like this, right, acquisitiveness. We want to get things, we want to shrink back, we want to fight. But that's our way of being. That's the world's way. It's the way that human beings learn to be. The purpose of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he says, and the gift of his Holy Spirit is the conquest of those habits and impulses. My friends, we're here today to baptize John, to welcome people into the church. We're here today to grow as followers of Jesus who lived and died so that we might be freed, liberated from these ways of the world, that we might find a life beyond that is truer and deeper and greater than our defensiveness, anxiety, and acquisitiveness. God has something better in store for us. Williams quotes the Eastern Christians back in the 4th and 5th centuries, who are the sources behind his book, The Passions of the Soul. He says that they saw the process of coping with the passions as a process by which the baptismal gift could come alive in them. That the baptismal gift could come alive in them. So the baptismal gift, which John is about to receive, which many of you all have received before, some of you may be feeling a draw toward. If you need the sacrament of baptism, I encourage you to talk to Father Aaron. The baptismal gift is that gift of the Spirit and the gift of being part, a member of the body of Christ, so part of Jesus. And as much as John will be baptized as fully today as he will ever be, right? These confirmants are not going to be more baptized. They're fully baptized. And yet, we have to grow into that which God has made us in baptism. And that's what Williams is talking about, that Jesus' life is to free us from these passions in the world so that we might follow God more deeply. And today's scriptures point to this tension. They point to the centrality of this concern for Jesus and for his first disciples. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is telling the disciples what it means to be the Son of Man, the Messiah. This is his second passion prediction. And he says, and you can see it there in your bulletin or read it in your Bible, Jesus is telling them that the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Right? That's what Jesus says his life is about. And then later, he brings a child, and he says, you have to be, anyone who wants to be first must be last and servant. And so welcome a little child. Welcome somebody who has nothing to offer you. He has no power in the world, no wealth. Welcome them fully. But right in the middle of those two things, right? Jesus' predictions and the welcoming of the little child, is this matter about the argument on the road. Because the disciples don't understand and they won't ask. They argue, what? Which one is the greatest? And they're not talking Georgia and Texas, my friends. They're talking James and John, Peter and Andrew. They're talking about which one can be at the right hand of Jesus, or maybe which one can be his successor. Who's considered the most worthy, the most important? Who's going to have the power? Right? They don't hear what Jesus is saying about laying down his life or about welcoming the child. That's the Gospel of Mark. And then if you listen again to the epistle from James, he says, you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not be boastful and false to the truth, right? That tension again. Let your lives reflect wisdom, though. So how is it that we live this life? Jesus says that the humility that he shows in going to the cross is to be replicated in the lives of his followers. Right? We are supposed to look like the Lord who was willing to lay down his life. We are supposed to look like the Lord who welcomed the little child. We are supposed to look like the Lord who pronounced mercy and forgiveness and the way to God and gave his very life for that. The humility Jesus shows is to be replicated in our lives. And so wealth and age and education are no excuse for looking down upon the young, the poor, the weak, the stranger, the unfortunate one. So how do we go from that? How do we navigate these tensions between that truth that Jesus offers and our inclination to make everything about our own power or importance? What Rowan Williams goes on to say from the Eastern Christians is that what we need is a new way of seeing. Evagrius of Pontus says that there are three ways of seeing. And these are the words he used back in the 4th century, so forgive me, okay? There's an angelic way of seeing, and that's the way that God created everything. Right? It's basically God's view. When God looks down upon us, God sees in this way that Evagrius calls the angelic way. Then there's the human way, but let's talk, that's the middle way. So we'll go to the extreme, right? On one extreme is angelic, the other extreme is demonic. And that sees everything as what it can do for us. So it objectifies people and creation and everything there is. How can it advance my desires? So it's a self-interested way of looking. That's the demonic way. And in between them is the human way, which is the one that goes back and forth here, right? And that tension. And Evagrius says that the life of the disciple, the life of the baptized, is to move more and more toward the angelic way of seeing. It doesn't make us anything other than human, but to be fully human, William says, is to see the way God sees. To see the way God sees. What Jesus offers us and what he calls his disciples to is abundant life. And the life abundant to which he calls us is a life that moves away from responding to everything out of self-interest and into the way that is in step with Jesus. So, my friends, if you look again at the scriptures, you'll see those promises and calls there. James says, "Who is wise or understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom." That is, turn away from those cravings that are at war with you and submit yourselves to God. In Proverbs, we hear about a certain kind of wife. But that list isn't just for women, not in today's age, is it? It's for all of us, industriousness, compassion for the poor, and generosity and welcome. We turn from seeing the world and other people as a means to our own good to seeing them as God sees them, worthy, deserving of respect, and welcome and generosity. As we baptize Jan and welcome these confirmants today, I pray that all of us would turn inward and see where we are in terms of that tension. Is our life reflecting submission to God, seeing the world with a spirit of generosity and grace? Or are we still caught in that demonic way of seeing other people and the creation as a means toward our own self-interest? I pray that the Lord will guide and direct us, that we might more and more be people who can show by our good life that our works are done of gentleness born of wisdom, that we are followers of Jesus, growing more and more to see the world through his eyes. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.